Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
Today we're looking at the scripture. My heart desire is not only to preach the word, but walk you through a book in the Bible and maybe somehow get able to how to model on how to study a whole book by picking out words, phrases, verses that you can find in the whole book of James. Could you imagine pastor preaching this morning the whole book, 5 chapters of book of James? Maybe we're done by 7 p.m. No. By the way, Mike, thanks for singing the national anthem. I remember the days, brother. Hallelujah. Mike was just notified several seconds before he came up here. Jaleesa said, I can sing pastor my voice. And then, Uncle Mike. And then, so he got the mic, Uncle Mike. Hallelujah. We're ever ready to do that. We're honored to step in, to be counted, to be there. So again, thanks for all the volunteers. By the way, Pastor Adon is with her family. But that whole July 4th celebration in the park by our community was powered with a sound system altogether coming from Heights Worship Center. Let's give a hand of praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. With all the technology God has given us, you know, and all of this, we are able to invest to that so we can serve the community. We're not just investing, we can have it, but we can share it to the community. So today when we look at the book of James, first and foremost, you know, the author is not the James, the disciple, but the author of the book of James is the half-brother of Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus has brothers? Now you're informed he has other brothers. After Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary had still babies, and one of them is James, who wrote this book and became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Wow, that's quick overview, right? But his name means Ikobos in the Greek, you know, and looking at how later on, you know, the roots of that name comes from Jacob. Okay, Jacob played the bass a while ago. And then, you know, the roots of that name then later on become James, and the James who played the keyboard this morning. So we got all the book of Jacob, James, all that name coming together. Hallelujah. To study the whole book. There are 5 chapters in the book, okay, of James. But at the same time, being a pastor, not only preaching or writing the book of James to the congregation in Jerusalem, but to all the scattered sheep. Where's Sister Monette? Thank you. The scattered sheep, all right, that need to be gathered, and leaving the 99 to find the one in the worship. You see how all the thoughts of worship and the word that was given here today boils down to the preaching of the book of James, because it was written so that the sheep in the fold of the kingdom of God will be able to hear the gospel in spite of persecution. And last Sunday when Pastor Adon preached about the persevering faith, because there was a scattering of the believers. They were scattered in many different places, that it was the book of James is not only written for believers in Jerusalem, but at the same time for the rest of those that were scattered from Jerusalem to other places. So addressing the sheep that has been scattered, but they are gathered to the word. One more time, you catch it. They were scattered by persecution, but they were gathered through the word. That's why we're here this morning. We're gathered to worship and gathered to the word. So there are 5 chapters. And let me run down. First, enduring faith, chapter 1. Active faith, chapter 2. Wholesome faith, chapter 3. Humble faith, chapter 4. And patient faith, chapter 5. How did I find out all of those? You see, there is a simple principle that you can follow on discovering some of the main thought of each of the chapter of the book. So read all the verses, and sometimes one verse stands out for you. So my reading of the book of James in each of the chapter, some of the verses stood out. That's why I named them, okay, enduring faith for chapter one. There must be a verse that tried to stand out to my observation. So if you're doing a little study of the books of the Bible or reading the whole chapter, you can follow a very simple principle. The simple principle is soap. Soap, why? Well, you know, soap cleanses, and all the word is washing with the water through the word. But it stands for the acronym of S for scripture, O, observation, A, application, P. What could it be? Prayer, right? Soap, scripture, woo, give a hand to Heights people. Woo, there you go. Man, I think I've done my work for today. That's good. Get started. So here we go, chapter 1. Let's read verse 3 and 4. I felt that enduring faith is supported by those three verses. The rest, of course, are important. And one of the character traits of the writing of James in the book of James is that it is like a pastoral preaching. He picks on the different needs of the people and he talks about it. The great influence of the writing of James was he likes the book of Proverbs. The thought behind the book of James is Proverbs. Second, the thought behind the book of James is Sermon on the Mount of Jesus. Of course, your brother taught, you know, Sermon on the Mount. So, okay, he was there, even though he was not part of the 12 disciples, but he listened to Jesus being half brother and knew that when he pastored, this will be a good way to follow the Sermon on the Mount and glean from the book of Proverbs. So you would see thoughts of what James was writing coming from those scriptures that we have mentioned and the teachings of Jesus. Here we go, verses 3 and 4. Reading from the New Living Translation. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Everybody say grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance fully develops, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You know, I look at needing nothing, that's how my attention was called to this verse. What? Are you giving me a blank check, needing nothing? So then you start digging. Let me see, what are the conditions when you don't need anything? You are completely satisfied, your needs are being met, but there are thoughts of how you're going to obey and follow through with the rest of the scriptures that is indicated. Four things in this verse. We don't have those on the screen. When you have to listen to points of the teaching, you have to go back to the YouTube, play it, pause, make notes. Now you're listening. If you really wanted to dig why, on Tuesdays, we will have Zoom Bible study and we'll deal with verse by verse, chapter 1. Every week we will do chapter of the book of James. So first, you know that when your faith is tested, here we go, welcome testing in your life. So you'll not get shocked. You'll not get traumatized. You will not get anxious. Plus, you will not get depressed. Why? You're ready to be tested. Why are you scared of testing? You go to school, get tested. Get scared? No. You have to do driving. How many of our kids ready to drive? Woo-hoo, thank you, Jesus, for the new car, Dad, Mom. But you go to testing, right? We don't retreat to testing because that would prove something. We are capable. We can be responsible. Much so that in Christian life, we go through this different testing. And of course, you heard this before. Without testing, there is no testimony. Catch it? Okay, there you go. That's why, Sean, there you go. You got it. So thank you, Jesus. So let's welcome testing. This morning, many of you were tested. Who can wake morning to come to church? Pretty hard, right? With all of the activities throughout the week, boy, the bed just really sound very, very nice. But, you know, there are more deeper and more strategic testing. Watch this, because you're moving up to the next level of faith. Wow. You're moving up to the next level of faith and gifting by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit does that in your life, you know, you just begin to recognize, wow, I never knew I can have that faith. I can have that understanding. I can have that comfort. And even right now for Brother Nestor, today this is just a way to comfort Brother Nestor, that even on this situation, and when I visited him, how many hours we talk about heaven, how many hours, 3 hours and all of that, the supernatural work of God, and begin to be amazed. And I was ministered to, Brother Nestor, because I said a few things to you that I thought I've never said in a lifetime of 50, 51 years of being a pastor. And I could remember among things and say, Brother Nestor, when you and Sister Marilyn got married, you became one flesh. But now she has gone to be with heaven, and half of you is now in heaven. How do you feel about it? Wow. What an expectation to be joined in the future. But I said, you know, you will not be given to marriage anymore, but you are part of the worshiper, the choir, the dance, the banner team in heaven to be able to worship the Lord. Come on, give a hand of praise. Because we know we all be reunited with our loved ones that have gone ahead of us. Hallelujah. Here's the word. Nobody left behind. Tell your neighbor, nobody left behind. Come on. Work hard with your salvation with fear and trembling. Nobody left behind. Hallelujah. So be ready for testing. So next time you got a test, you got a trial, you get something really heavy. Lord. Oops. You're ready. Brave it up and say, God, I'm going to look to your scripture. I'm going to go to the word of God and say, hey, Lord, thank you for the encouragement of your word. Second to the enduring faith, not only welcoming the test, but the endurance has a chance to grow. What needed to grow in us, in our relationship? Of course, the Bible has been talking about baby walk. Then you become, you know, growing and maturing. You start with milk. Now you begin to take in the meat of the word of God. So there is development. There is an increase that has to come. So whenever we come to testings and trial, not only that our endurance would be tested, but at the same time allow us a chance to grow. I just don't endure so I can grow, but I endure to grow. I like this third. And glow. Endure, grow, and glow. Why? As soon as you conquer the test, you're done with the test and you triumph over it. Wow! Why are you so silent? I thought we were loud yesterday. Right? So with that, you know, yes, Lord, we would just want to thank you, because then endurance develops, allow the potential of what we have so we can grow and glow. Come on, give a hand of praise to the Lord. So here we are. Why? Why you have to shine? Why you? There has to be a way that people will see the glory. So don't be stuck in the glow. Because that glow goes onto the glory of God. So if I have to write glory, glory. By now you understand how brain of Pastor Jaron thinks. Because I think multiple words to one word, and you speak glory in knowing that what that God has given you in your growth, in maturity, in your development, so that Jesus can be seen in you. Not yourself, not who you are, but that Jesus will be seen in you. So back to the verse on that enduring faith and say, all right, so for, you know, your faith will be tested and endurance has a chance to grow. Number three, so let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, that verse please. Okay, for when your endurance is fully developed, so the growth is not just a progress, but there is fullness of development. So when you think about perfection, it's not about being perfect with no flaw, but we're thinking about the fullness of the potential of the growth, whether of the seed or the faith that has been intended. Every word that you receive has a potential of growth to mature in your life. Why? What does the Bible say about faith? Faith comes by hearing. So every hearing of the word of God has a potential to grow in you. Boy, that's heavy, guys. How long you've been hearing the growing of that word. That means every day that word has a potential to develop mature fulfillment to the maximum of what has been intended for you to receive. Endurance is a chance for that word to fully develop. So meaning, keep welcoming testing. Keep welcoming the test to your endurance by the word of God. We all have struggles. We don't deny that. But it's because of that word that your endurance has a chance to grow. So therefore, so let it grow, for where your endurance is fully developed, maturity, fruitfulness, full potential, the fully development is everything God expects for the result of the word of God. All right? So there is an expectation for the word on how it is to mature in our life. Then you will be perfect and complete. Boy, I said, Lord, I'm too far from that. You know, but understanding God's grace, come on, that's where grace kicks in. When Sister Rose looked at me, hallelujah, I'm having faith. She doesn't look at me with all of my flaws and weaknesses, but I'm fully developed. I'm fully in shape. Come on, people. We are all in good shape in the spirit. We're in good shape in the word of God. I think the camp talks about it too, you know. Wind shape, is that wind shape for the next camp that we have, okay? So you will be perfect and complete. You know, I said, Scripture, are you telling the truth? Or come on, you're just trying to, you know, entice me to something that's not real. Where the word of God cannot lie. So when the word of God, you're going to be incomplete. You know why? There is satisfaction. There is contentment in the word of God. Whatever happens, you know, the power of the word of God has the ability to make you satisfied. Meaning to say, you still did not have everything. You still don't have car, but you're satisfied. How's that? You might have everything, but if you're not satisfied, you're poor. Come on. What brings you to completeness and perfection because you're satisfied with Jesus? Somebody say amen. You're satisfied with the Holy Spirit. You're satisfied with the food of the Word of God. And that what is guaranteed for your perfection, maturity, development. And the last two words, needing nothing. Could you imagine? I don't need anything. But some of the single guys in the house, but Lord, I need a girlfriend. Oh Lord, I need a wife. Or I need a husband. You can begin, well, scripture is plain. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the husband will be added to you, and the wife will be added to you. Could you imagine that? So for the time being, bear the testing. Endure the testing. Come on. Time will come. All right. And the right time of what God has purpose for you. And you will say, thank you, Jesus. That's Daniel now. I lack nothing. Hallelujah. Number two. Not only enduring faith. Oh, let me read the summarized verse that I need to say. Hebrews 11, 33, 34. Who by faith, that is, with an enduring trust in God and his promises, subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promise, blessing, closed the mouth of lions, extinguished the power of the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, became mighty and unbeatable in battle, putting enemy forces to flight. And these are all scriptures that talks about the heroes of faith or hall of famers, faith famers in Gospel of Hebrews, in seeing that they endured the faith, that in spite they gave their life also the gospel, they endured their faith and they are considered being heroes of faith. And that is because in there, the first line, with an enduring trust in God and his promises, they won the battles. They were overcoming the testing and enduring the test. So number two, active faith, that is enduring faith. Number two, the verse that stands out in chapter two talks about active faith, not dormant, but active faith. Verse 22 to 24. You see, his faith and his actions work together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scripture says. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not just by faith alone. Not by faith alone. So we see work and faith come together. And with this, we can see that in order for faith and work come together, it has to be activated. It has to be constantly working. It has to be put into activation. So here we go. Faith and his actions work together, referring to Abraham and how he put action, that when God said, I'm going to give you a nation, I'm going to give you, make you a great nation, he left his home, traveled to find a city whose author, architect, builder is God. So the story of Abraham was a story of journey of faith, almost similar to the journey of the church. You know, we had our own persecution, whether that is financial, natural, or all of the different types of restriction that maybe we're feeling today. And yet we know that it is God giving us the victory every step of the way as a church family. So faith and actions work together. We're praying for our city, but if we are withdrawn, we seclude ourselves from not involving in the community, we could never be the light. We could never be the salt. So on July 4th, this last Friday, we were at the park just being there present. You know, when Julissa was singing the national anthem, I said, everybody pray. I went to the booth and said, everybody pray. This is a song of intercession to bless America. This is a song that God, you know, would be able to save America. So it was not just another song. That's why I just felt like singing that national anthem before being refreshed us with knowing that it is a nation that has been birthed because people wanted to worship God. And for that reason, we keep on praying for America. We keep interceding and blessing America for the purpose that it is an apostle nation to the rest of the world. Number two, active faith, because actions made his faith complete. So you look at that phrase, his action was made complete. So thinking about the previous verse in chapter 1 on how you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now you can see why you would not need anything. You are perfect and complete because you put your faith into action. So the previous verse in chapter 1 relates to chapter 2. All right, on this verse 22 and 23, where our act of faith actions made his faith complete, you know, referring to Abraham, and yet the same for us too. So when we step out in faith to believe God that all things is possible with God, we're pleasing God. Why? Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you desire to please God? Don't try to calculate everything. Just step out in faith. You know, it's not a blindsided faith, but it's calculated faith in the sense of you have a word, you have a promise, you have a covenant, you have something that you are hanging on to as a promise of God that you step out in believing for that act of faith. So, his action. So today, as we act together as a church, not only God is completing us, completing the task that he's giving to us, but at the same time, we can see how God brings the completion of the work, mission, evangelism, reaching out. We're praying that we can complete that work. Why? This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world, and then the end will come. So we can see that this has been the preaching of the word of God. It is the timeline that gives us to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three. So it has happened as the scripture says that Abraham believed God. When God spoke to him, he believed what God said. So that means every time we receive, we hear the word of God, we have to believe, we have to put faith onto it. And as a result, it says, it counted for him righteous. It accounted for it. So every time you step out on faith, you know, it is accounted to your righteousness. Because rather than obeying your fear, rather than obeying your hesitation, you obeyed faith to step out for God. It's okay. You know, whether it happens or not, you believe God. And God is pleased because you step out in faith. Whatever is the result, when you say you are bothered, when you say, what if God doesn't answer? Well, you believe him. First, you please him. You were not pleased because of the answer. You were pleased because you obeyed God. So where's the focus? Not on the answer. The focus is where? Obedience. So you see the switch on how faith functions because now it's your obedience rather than the result. Okay? Rather than the result, you focus on your obeying God. So as a result, it was counted because you didn't focus on the result. You were focused on obeying God and say your righteousness in Christ. It is accounted. You are right. You have the right standing with God. And the last portion of that verse, and say, he was even called the friend of God. Wow, that's an extra, you know, description. You know, when you step out in faith to believe God, you're making friends with God. Let me say that. You're making friends in high places. How's that? You change the language a little bit. It have a different texture, right? How many of you like to make friends in high places? Okay, I'm not talking about Sacramento. I'm not talking about White House. I'm talking about heaven. I'm talking about the throne of God. I'm talking about the presence of God. That when you approach God in faith, come on, daughter. Why are you dragging your feet? Run. Yeah, you are being anticipated, waited upon in the presence of the Lord. Towards the end of the verses say, you are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. So if we stand right before God, you know, we see how, you know, when we stand right before God, it brings that completeness. Let me read the verse again. You will be, the last one, we are shown to be right with God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. As a result, there is a proof, there is an evidence that we are acting our faith. I was writing it down. So let your faith act out. Catch the phrase there. Right now, what is acting out on you? Is it faith or not? Therefore, let your faith act out. Right? Sometimes it is negativity that is acting out. Sometimes maybe the negative things are acting out that you don't desire at all to come out. But because of faith, let your faith act out to bring the maturity, the growth that God desires from each one of us. Okay? So that is how we put faith into active work. Active faith. That's chapter 2. Chapter 3. What stand out in chapter 3. Oh, Pastor Adon has a wonderful way of teaching this part of the chapter. So here we go. To chapter 3. We'll be reading from verse 7 to verse 10. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. Whoa. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who had been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. We were talking just about what it is to stand right, having righteousness. And then, boom, James, what are you doing? You know, I'm not James, the writer. Book of James, what are you doing? We're just talking about standing with right with God. Now you're talking about my tongue and telling me that's not right. You just told a lie. You just said something that is not proper. Well, you know, what do you expect of the word of God? It dissects the very inner soul of man. So we're talking about discipline. We're talking about wholesome faith. I had a hard time looking for a word to describe chapter 3 with all of that, but I have to be positive, right? How I titled the Holy Spirit just let me talk about what is wholesome, what it is pleasing, not just to the human ear, but pleasing to God. Wholesome faith. So if you have faith for a miracle, if you have an active faith to do the impossible, you have an enduring faith, that should be a wholesome faith. So why can we not apply that faith to being able to be disciplined? So one of the areas of discipline is disciplining the tongue. So, you know, maybe one of the questions I'm going to ask Jesus when I get to heaven, say, why so small of that tongue is so hard to control? You know, I'm trying to figure out. Oh, maybe that's the reason why you gave us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so we can surrender the tongue to the control of the Holy Spirit. Jesus hasn't answered me yet. I'm trying to figure with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but the thought seems to be fitting. But because, you know, we're talking about discipline for what God would want to do, that means if I can discipline my tongue, then I can control the rest. If the Holy Spirit is in total control, left out the tongue, has no all over control of you and me. So when you say, Lord, you're Lord of all of my life, please include my tongue. We might have to start doing that. You know, I surrender all, include my tongue. And with that, you know, it's just that, by the way, I did not pick the tongue. The Bible picked it up. And you discover it's Book of James. I hope I can escape or, you know, skip chapter 3. But as soon as I read chapter 3, boom, it's right there. Hello, you got to speak about this. So here am I on chapter 3. But here we go. Say, so faith on how the Lord wants to process so that we are able to have a wholesome faith, so God can not only that it is restless and evil and poisonous. That means God helps us to have a wholesome conversation, wholesome speech, because if not, there will be poison that will poison relationships, that will poison the atmosphere, you know, of wholesomeness. Number 3, what a reality. Sometimes it praises the Lord, the Father. Sometimes it curses those who has been made in the image of God. Could you imagine? So before we can make conclusion about the other person, the first thing is that that person has also been made in the image of God. Maybe he doesn't know yet the Lord, but I could not condemn. I could not judge because that person is made in the image of God. On way grace, you know, is being administered to the relationship so that instead of curse, we can release the blessing. That's where the last phrase of number 4 in that verse, it says, so sometimes it curses, but those who had been made in the image of God. Next part of the verse, please. So blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. So if the Holy Spirit is in control, then allow the blessing to come out. Allow the blessing, allow faith to come out to confess, you know, the goodness of God in our lives, so that we demonstrate a wholesome faith in being able to magnify the Lord. Titus chapter 1 verse 16 says, they profess to know God, to recognize and be acquainted with Him, but their action they deny and disown Him. They are detestable and disobedient and worthless for the good work of any kind. You know, when the scripture rebukes and corrects us, we leave it at that. I'm not going to make any comment of Titus chapter 1, verse 16. It has enough on way of calling our attention that we have to guard and allow the Holy Spirit to guard our tongue. Second to last, humble faith, chapter 4, reading verse 7 and 8. So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. So humility is a weapon of war. At first we were talking about blessing as a weapon. You know what's powerful? Curse or blessing? Blessing. In times past, we talk about blessing as a weapon of war. This time here, humility is a weapon of war. I guess humility wouldn't have no enemy. Right? So why? We pattern ourselves before God. So we humble ourselves before the Lord. We first recognize that we are totally surrendered and we're totally humble before God. And as a result, we know that God's presence and God's favor rest upon us. Second, because we are able to humble, submit ourselves to God, so when we have an enemy, our enemy is not our enemy, but God's. Who fights your battle, not us, against the enemy. God fights for us. With that reason, I think a few Sundays ago when we're singing about surrender, that's when the Lord reminded us, if we surrender to God, whatever battles we are having right now, God fights for us because we surrendered to a higher authority, power, and dominion. So we are acknowledging that humility is a weapon of war. This time it refers to demonic, satanic, dark forces that we don't see. We don't even realize. So we could understand that total submission to God is our security, is our assurance that we have that strong defense over the work of darkness. Number three, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Humility brings us to an intimate relationship with God. I think that is important. Humility is not only about submission, but relationship, fellowship, intimateness with God. And with that, humility opens all the avenue of connectedness with God. Humility removes the barrier for whatever stands between you and the Lord because you're totally surrendered to His will and purpose in your life. Lastly, humility keeps you pure. So your humble faith keeps us knowing that we allow God to speak to our hearts and submit to His word, submit to His will, that He calls our attention to repent. We don't try to rationalize. We repent. We acknowledge we have wronged God. That's humility. And when you do that, you allow yourselves by the power of the word of God and by His blood to stay pure and clean. Reading 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 on the Amplified Version. And never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Avoid scolding, berating, and any kind of abuse. But on the contrary, give blessing. All right? Give blessing. Pray for one another, another's well-being, contentment, and protection. For you had been called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing from God, that blessings will well-being, happiness, and protection. For the one who wants to enjoy life and see the good days, good weather apparent or not, must keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from speaking guile, treachery, or deceit. When scripture begins to line up with all of that, something is coming up, right? And boom, right underneath towards the bottom, it calls an attention by saying, that's why we must keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from speaking guile, treachery, or deceit. So our humility brings not only that intimateness, but the discipline back to what we are doing in our relationship with each other. Lastly, worship team, please join me. Patient faith. What it is to be waiting upon the Lord. Patient faith is not only enduring, but while waiting is being occupied. Waiting is not like not doing anything. No. Waiting actively in the Lord patiently is occupying. So if I occupy space, I make sure that I occupy that space for reason. I occupy so I can be a light and I can be a salt on that space. I need to shine for Jesus as I needed to be. So here we go with James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Patient faith. Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. So, wow. So patience is needed as we are waiting upon the soon return of the Lord. Patient faith is waiting just like as a farmer is waiting for the rain. You see, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is also referred to as the latter rain of blessing of the Lord. Well, the upper room believers waited. You know, when the Holy Spirit, now that the Holy Spirit had been poured out, we are free to receive that which God has already poured out. Now, with the same waiting, not only for the rain, but we are eagerly looking forward for the valuable harvest to ripen. We don't give up for Ascenda Heights. We are waiting for the harvest to ripen in this city, in our community, wherever we are with our Good News Club. We are waiting for the harvest. What's the name of the park again? Thomas Burton. The five-day club. We are waiting for the harvest for the five-day club. When the light the night will come here, we are waiting for the harvest that is to come. With the way we're doing a day camp with the kids, could you begin to imagine they will come pastors, missionaries, teachers? That's all what it is. Why we continually inculcate or sow the seed, water the seed in the lives of the children. Because God is molding them to become who they are. Patiently waiting for the seed, for it to grow, to ripen. But beyond all the waiting, faith is required. Patient faith is required. And take courage to wait for the soon return of the Lord. We're not tired. We're not giving up. But we will patiently. Because Scripture says, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. It will soon happen. And we got to be ready. Not just by ourselves, but to share continually the gospel. Will you stand with me, please? Lord Jesus, this morning, thank you for giving us the measure of faith to wait patiently. Thank you for giving us the measure of faith to have a humble faith, the humility that needed to be drawn closer to you. Thank you that we have a wholesome faith that will be can build an atmosphere, Lord God, of your presence by the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you allow us to have an active faith, not dormant, but being engaged in doing the work of the Lord. And finally, Lord, enduring faith, so that whatever test that comes through, we're not shocked, we're not traumatized, we're not anxious, we're not depressed, but rather, Lord, we know you're allowing us to grow. You're allowing us to glow. You're allowing us to become who we are in your presence. So today, here we are, Lord. We're giving ourselves afresh to you for what you desire for us to be. We pray that the Holy Spirit, by the power of your word, be poured out upon us so that the measure of faith that we will demonstrate is the measure of faith that comes from your living word. Today we ask for an increase of faith. We ask, just as even the disciples, Lord, help us in our unbelief, that today you will increase our faith through your word. We pray that when we study the book of James, we can even go deeper and see what else you have for us. Not only that we can have that faith you desire, but Lord, it propels us to be able to be ready for your soon return. I'd like for us to decree and declare together and say this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for the faith that is in your word. I ask you to increase my faith, my desire for your word. Bring me closer to you, my relationship with you, that I will stand righteous, holy, acceptable to you. Thank you for forgiveness of my sin. Thank you for cleansing me with your blood. Today I honor you with my life surrendered, submitted, humbled before you. For this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.